Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I, for one, have never heard anybody at our leaseholders meetings say anything negative about a condo complex. Those are very different things.
The people who come into a 700 condos, they come in with one car and they stay there. And if they go out, they go out all day and then come back, and that's it. And then the people who live there don't even go out every day. So the traffic impact is much less with the 700 units as opposed to the 179.
The most of your folks are going to be coming in and out about 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's the busy time for an RV park. Well, that's the time the bridge is jammed up with beachgoers. There are two stretches on that bridge that are very narrow. Two RVs passing this direction. Nobody, no rescue vehicle, no fire truck, no first responder is going to get through. People will die.
So, the conversation about an RV park in Navarre had a good, mild, civil tone to it. Oh, man. So here's the thing, okay, in case you don't know the background on all of this, you've got a guy who's owned a piece of property there on the north side of Navarre Beach. So this is the sound side, but, you know, it's funny. I was telling this to my wife, and she's like, you know what I mean, south of 98? I'm like, no, it's the north side of 399. She's like, well, you know, it's hard to explain, like, where this was happening. But it's on the sound side, but it's on Navarre Beach, okay? And it's a guy who's owned this property here for a long time, Chris Ferrara. And over that course of time, he's paid an enormous amount of money in property taxes and lease fees just waiting to develop it.
You know, let's step back in time. You know, I've owned this property for approximately 34 years. I have paid probably in excess of $4 million of property taxes and lease fees in that 34 years.
Yikes. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to carry vacant land. But, you know, I guess when you're the kind of person that's got a bunch of land, you know, you develop some over here and you pay for the property taxes, this stuff over here, and then you develop some of this stuff over here, and then you pay for the property taxes of that thing over there. I mean, you know, I guess over time that's kind of how it works. This is pretty significant investing if you can manage to, you know, just lose $4 million. And I know, like, people use it to offset profits they make elsewhere for their tax. I mean, you know, there's a lot to this, but okay. And the history is, apparently, the lease itself doesn't specify that you can build an RV park. It does allow that you can build a condo, okay? And this was the argument, last year, when the owners, or the nearby folks, showed up and said, we do not want an RV park. And what I said at that time was, yeah, but he's entitled to build a condo. Would that be better? You know, 180 RVs versus a couple thousand cars? 171 units for an RV park. A nice high-end RV park, okay? The kind that, you know, it's not a trailer park. Versus 700 condos, that's, you can't even see the sound through that. And, you know, you can't keep the land vacant forever. And I said that at the time. And what would happen? Well, they told him no on the RV park. And so he said, fine, I'll build condos. Well, and apparently the folks who live there are kind of okay with this, at least according to what they said in the meeting, as you heard the very first voice there, that in the leaseholder meetings, nobody's upset about the condos. Everybody's fine with the RV, or nobody's fine with the RV park. Oh, okay. I think I said that the right way. They don't want the RV park. They're okay with the condos, apparently, even though it's a massively different volume of cars. You know, he says 2,500 cars for 700 units of RV versus 171 RVs. I don't get the math of 2,500 cars, but it's the number that the owner kept saying, Chris Ferrara. But the problem is that you also have this side issue where back in the day, he was told by staff, Roy Andrews apparently, the attorney back then, and he was told that an RV was an acceptable development use. He got a development order, a DO, And then came the votes, and the votes said no.
So when you look at it from a fairness standpoint, how can somebody or how can a developer get assurance from the county and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars assuring that an RV park could be placed on this property? And then yet in turn with the Leaseholders Association didn't like an RV park, get this development order pulled.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question. So he sued the county. And I don't know what the outcome of that lawsuit is going to be, but, you know, you certainly, I'm not the only one speculating that he's got a pretty good case. I mean, the case on the history is so good that, you know, James Calkins actually repeated it from the dais.
He got told that he can put an RV. He got told by our own staff long time ago. This is pre, you know, our current staff.
And issued a development order.
And they issued a development order. So now he's got a case against Santa Rosa County. Now, I don't know if it's going to win or not, but if we lose, the taxpayers are going to pay millions of dollars. And now this gentleman will be able to still put the RV park.
Yeah, and I don't know how much he's asking. And, you know, I don't know how much he would be likely to get. But it seems the kind of lawsuit that he would win. I agree. Based on the fact that he was told he could do it. And then he was later told you can't do it. What? Even, I mean, to the point where we even have a development order. So his argument is that an RV park, you know, one level, right, RV park, is much less of an impact in terms of volume of traffic, 171 or so RVs versus 2,500 cars. And he said, and I'd rather do an RV park instead of condos. He says that's less of an impact. They say, apparently the property owners around there, and I was surprised by this, but this is their view. They'd rather have the condos. Condos are quiet, and people stay in them. They come, they stay. They don't drive all around creation. They don't create trouble. They're, you know, they're not those terrible RV people, which I think is funny because the RV people are the most, you know, they're great. Yeah, they're like, you know, RV people. And these are, we're not talking about like Cousin Eddie. You know, we're talking about people who have
like 40-foot or 30-foot.
Yeah, they got the 30-foot Prevo or whatever.
If they can afford an RV, man, they got money.
$500,000 RVs, you know. And, you know, these are folks who are typically retired and they're, you know, 60s and they go around traveling and, you know, they really are kind of like, if you ask me to, you know, where would I want to just put a pile of $1,000 in the middle of a street in an RV park full of retired 60 somethings, you know, I feel like it'd be pretty safe there compared to a lot of places. So, but the residents are not happy about this. They're not on board. And, you know, Commissioner Calkins kind of summarized it.
I'm at a loss for words on this issue. This issue is nobody wants the RV park on Navarre Beach. And as a matter of fact, we
except
voted
the
on
owner.
That two times. But there's a lot of people that do not want a monstrosity out there also, a massive condo. My question to you, are you planning on, if this thing, you planning on, you know, potentially building a monstrosity out there? I mean, it's your right to.
RV park or monstrosity? He means condos, but okay, that's the question, Chris Farrar says.
Commissioner, either way, something's going to be built there very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So either you're going to have 2,500 cars or you're going to have 171 RVs. Something will be built very soon.
So y'all don't get to pick vacant land anymore. That's not an option. It's either going to be the RV park or it's going to be condos. That's the only thing to be decided.
And if people don't think that's going to happen, they need to examine their conscience because we're going forward with a project on Navarre Beach.
So this was not a decision to be made. This was not a, you know, there was no resolution to all this. This was all about scheduling a hearing because that was part of the mediation with the lawsuit, is that the judge basically told the county, you got to have another hearing over this. So they're going to have another hearing. And I would expect when that and they did vote on Thursday to approve that. And I guess when that happens, you'll have a lot more people show up and explain how they don't want an RV park and they would rather have condos. And, you know, because, for example, there's more ad valorem to the county if there's condos. Again, the idea that people kind of come and they stay in their condo. I don't really buy that argument. The traffic one is one that came up a lot before you heard the clip at the beginning. You know, people are going to die because it's going to back up. It doesn't seem likely to me that even if you're turning over, let's say, because by the numbers they were talking about, like every 3 or 4 days, you're going to turn the whole thing over. Well, that would be roughly 90 RVs every 3 or 4 days. So you're talking about 30 RVs on a day. I don't see how that is this ginormous traffic impact. On the other hand, even if you're only turning over cars once a week, you know, 2,500 divide, if that's the right number, 2,500 is more like 300 a day, right? So it seems like the condos would be a bigger net negative impact than the RV park. But I don't live there, and the residents there are convinced. And so we're going to have a hearing, and we'll see where it goes from there. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, risankizumab rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the #1 dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10, as the guests will be from WSRE-TV. Have your questions ready to text in as Jennifer Nivelle, WSRE Director of Development and Community Engagement, and WSRE Marketing Director Mary Riker will be talking about the Wine and Food Classic events and their free Studio Amped Concert Series coming soon. That's today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pensacola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
This fall in Pensacola, Florida, celebrate 10 years of FUFU. This year promises to be bigger, funner, and, well, artier. Engaging art installations, livelier music, more amazing cuisine, and a vibrant culture that's contagious. Discover it all this fall. Come celebrate 10 years of FUFU Fest, November 2nd through the 13th in Pensacola, Florida. Start planning at FUFUFest.com.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This Ming's a psycho.
This Ming is a psycho.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it. Hi, Ming. Come on.
So I will say that in the post-Me Too era, there is something a little asterisky about playing this.
Yeah, it's a little rapey.
it's a little too much like Bill Cosby's theme song, but okay, whatever. You know, 523 here on News
Plus
Radio.
Plus it's anti-trans. He don't want no Oscar Mayer.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part. Nevertheless, we play it because I don't care. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's
Andrew McKay, everybody.
Andrew McKay, everybody. That's right. Hey, first day of the baseball playoffs today, and I am, let's just say the St. Louis Cardinals are not in it. Yeah, second worst team in the National League. I think fourth or fifth worst team in all of baseball this year, 20 games under
but
500.
But the best fans.
That is not much consolation. I'll take it. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Jury selection begins today in the trial of FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried, who faces multiple charges of defrauding customers in his digital currency exchange FTX. Bankman-Fried was arrested in the Bahamas last December. The American soldier that was released from North Korea last week was reunited with his family in Texas yesterday. The Pentagon says Travis King met with family members. Actually, I guess it was over the weekend. King made international headlines when he darted into North Korea last July. And how about some good news this morning? A New York girl that went missing during that camping trip has been found safe. New York Governor Kathy Hochul confirming yesterday that 9-year-old Charlotte Cena had been found safe. The alleged kidnapper is in custody. Corsine had been missing since Saturday when she disappeared while on a camping trip with her family.
Very good. Love to see that. David, thanks so much for the update. Did anybody watch the game last night? Anybody watch the Seahawks and the Eagles? Sorry, the Giants. Seahawks and the Giants play Monday Night Football featuring, you might have heard this name. You ever heard of Devin Witherspoon? No. He's from Pensacola.
Yes.
He plays, what, corner? DE? I forget, for the Eagles. And he was featured last night. Had a little bit of fun. Giants with the ball.
This one's picked. Back the other way, Witherspoon. Devin Witherspoon cuts back. What a night for the rookie. You think they love him in Seattle? How about 6 points? Touchdown, Witherspoon, no flags.
97-yard pick six for the rookie from Pensacola.
Woo!
Sign it. Yeah, we'll take it. And somebody made this note and said, I didn't know this. I did not get a chance to watch the game last night. And now that I know it was an absolute blowout by the Seahawks, maybe I don't need to, but somebody made the note and said, yeah, and the Giants, who scored three, the only points they scored were by the kicker. Kicker, anybody? Anybody? Graham Gano.
Gano! Oh, yeah. From Tate High School. He played for the Panthers. He is my favorite.
I know. It was so much fun to watch on the Panthers. And then, you know, now he's with the Giants, apparently. Sorry about that, bro. 527.
He's wonderful. And so is his family.
Yeah, no, he seems like a great guy. And, you know, it's been fun to watch him play all these years. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Okay. I'm worried I'm going to get the significance of this story wrong. So those of you who are in the military, if you know a better perspective, if I say anything wrong, please text me immediately, 437-1620. But the F-18, you know, is kind of being gently phased out in favor of the F-35, right? This is what happens when new platforms come, old platforms go. And the F-35 is supposed to replace, like, everything. You know, the F-16, the Falcon or Viper, depending on who you ask, the F-15, the Eagle, the F-18, the Hornet, the Tomcat's been out of service for a long time, the F-14, that's what you saw in Top Gun, the Sweep Wing. Anyway, the Maverick flew the original one, and also, I guess, the new one, not to give too much plot away. But the F-18 is on its way out. That's what obviously the Blue Angels fly, the F-18 Super Hornet, and I think all the legacies are out of the... I think that's true, but I could be wrong about that. In any case, the significance of what happened over the weekend is that on Friday, the last training squadron, fully devoted training squadron for the Marines at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar, you know Miramar, that's what they, you know, Top Gun. They had a sundowner ceremony for that training squadron, Marine Fighter Attack Training Squadron 101, VMFAT 101, the Sharpshooters, who has been training aviators since the F-4 in 1969, and they were decommissioned. That squadron was decommissioned. And so at first what I thought was, wait, we're not even training F-18 pilots anymore? That's weird, since the F-18 is going to continue to be in service for another 7 years or so. 2030 is meant to be the last year that they phase that out. It's not that we're not training them, it's that they're training them within other squadrons, is my understanding. So the devoted training squadron to F-18s, because we're shifting resources continuously over to the F-35, and so fewer and fewer resources are going to be devoted towards the F-18. So they're transitioning into Marine Fighter Attack Squadron, MFAS 323 at Miramar, and they will continue training F-18 pilots while the Marine squadrons finish transition to the new age F-35. The air wing there has two F-18 fighter squadrons and six F-35 fighter squadrons, if you understand the kind of the relationship. So still, you know, I don't know, weird sort of sad note, as the Marines in this case particularly, but I think also the Navy is undergoing the same thing, are transitioning away from emphasizing training of Hornet pods, which always part of the issue there to me is, you know, of course, we get the Blue Angels here, and you're gradually going to see more and more Blue Angels be pilots who, you know, might have never flown an F-18. All they've ever flown is the F-35. And yet they're going to be, you know, when they take the assignment to go be with the Blue Angels, then they're going to start flying a plane that they might have never flown before. It's kind of a step back in the technological generation for them, going back from a, you know, well, I guess fifth generation to fourth generation. Anyway, so I just thought it was an interesting note, especially with all the emphasis on aviation here in Pensacola, the history of it, the Blue Angels and all that. So just sharing with you kind of a, I don't know, to me it was sad. You know, I mean, it's the future, it's going to happen, but That's kind of the way of things. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Looks like Don Gates has filed to run for the next election. We'll tell you more after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Day two of former President Trump's business fraud civil trial in New York. He's expected to be back in person sitting at the defense table.
It has been very successful for them because they took me off the campaign trail. Because I've been sitting in a courthouse all day long instead of being in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, or a lot of other places I could be at.
The first prosecution witness was a former Trump accountant who says Trump executives provided the numbers for the firm to work with. A 9-year-old girl kidnapped from a campground in a New York State park is found safe.
After some resistance, the suspect was taken into custody, and immediately the little girl was found in a cabinet, cupboard. She was rescued.
Governor Kathy Hochul, police say the kidnapper left a ransom note with fingerprints. He had the girl in a camper parked behind his mother's trailer. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Another beautiful morning here in Pensacola. We've got 68 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies. And former Florida Senator Don Gates apparently wants his old job back. He's now pre-filed to run for Doug Broxton's seat as he'll be term limited after 2024.
You know, we've become the low tax state, and that's great. But we're the high electric bill state, and we're the high property insurance state, if you can get it. We're the high housing cost state. And, of course, gas and grocery prices and other things are high as well.
Gates talking with Channel 3, and up until yesterday, former Representative Frank White was the only one in the field. However, White now says he plans to withdraw and support Gates. Gates served as state senator from 2006 to 2016, including a stint as a Senate president from 2012 to 2014. Gates also dismissing rumors and speculation on social media that his son, Matt Gates, could be lining up for a run as Florida governor in 2026.
I think that's rumors and clickbait. In talking to my son, which I do almost every day, he is singularly focused in Washington on the spending crisis, on the budget crisis, and on trying to get a vote on term limits. He wants to save the country, and he thinks he's where he needs to be to do that. He is not focused at all on any race in 2026, and neither am I.
Looks like some type of information technology security event may be impacting courts in the First Judicial Circuit. This is according to a report this morning from NorthEscambia.com. The information technology security event is significantly impacting court operations across the circuit, impacting courts potentially in Escambia, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and in Walton counties, and possibly for an extended period. Apparently, the court is prioritizing and conducting essential court proceedings, and people with court cases may be contacted by their attorneys regarding any hearings that are being rescheduled here in the next day or so. The Pensacola Police Department says an arrest has been made in a fatal shooting at the Pensacola Village Apartments over the weekend.
Our presence continue in the neighborhood and surrounding neighborhoods and the entire community as well. And we stand with our residents of Pensacola Village to make sure that that community remains safe.
PPD Chief Eric Randall, investigators say two people were shot Sunday inside the G building, including one person who died. PPD spokesman Mike Wood tells us a juvenile suspect has been identified as Zachariah Lipsko. He's charged with carrying a concealed weapon and tampering with evidence. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We have a beautiful day in store for us today. Temperatures warming up near 87 degrees for your high. Plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 60s, 67 degrees for your low. Nice weather continues for your Wednesday with a high near 87 degrees. Plenty of sunshine. Low Wednesday night, dropping near 69 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 69 degrees in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll talk about Jackson's cooking class, Atlas beverage class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Markley, Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, yes, yes. That is the introduction music for our good friend Ryan Jenkins, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Last year, every single week we talked to him, getting an update on what life was like on a farm for a year. One of the most popular segments we have ever done. A really interesting time. I learned a ton, and I still do from him because he knows it all, and I'm just a city kid. But Ryan Jenkins, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing better now that we've got you on the line, that's for sure. Where are you at?
You might not be doing better after I get off.
Well, look, last month was pretty sobering. I mean, last month was pretty pretty bleak. You were talking about the excessive heat and the drought conditions and, you know, that the crops were not doing well. This was going to be the kind of year that it was going to take you 10 years to dig out from financially because it was so bad. Not just that the crop outputs were going to be way low, but that you had invested in what seemed to be a very promising crop ahead of time. So costs were up and outputs are going to be low. You're now into what? Your cotton and peanut harvesting now. How are things going?
There's been some surprises, but for the most part, it's kind of like what we had talked about last time. I can't remember if we'd finished up our corn or not when I talked to you last time, but we got that finished up and behind us, and the combine back in the barn, and our corn crop was, I don't know, you know, everything that we're talking about is very spotty because of the way the rainfall was this year. You know, if you lucked up and got a thunderstorm at the right time, your crops are a little bit better than your neighbors, but as a whole, everything is down tremendously. Corn was just probably a little bit below average. We had some areas where we got good rainfall and had really good crops, one that you'd be proud of in any year. And then, you know, 10 miles down the road at another field, it was the worst yield I'd ever made growing corn. So, you know, all in all, it's going to be probably a little bit below average. Our peanuts, they are,
and by the way, just to give people who might not have heard you and I talking about this all the time, corn for you is a third level crop at best. It's something you do, but it's not. Cotton and peanuts are the main ones. Corn is just something you also do by acres and by dollar volume, right?
Correct. It's kind of just fun for me in a way. I wish I was in the Midwest where I could grow a lot of it, but It's a good rotation for the soil, and it just kind of spreads out our risk a little bit is why we grow it. The peanuts, they're about like I had talked about on the last show. I've heard of some of my, I haven't had any this bad, thank God, but I've got some really close friends of mine, you know, that have been picking, you know, 700 and 800 pounds to the acre, and we usually pick around 5,000 pounds to the acre.
Wait, what? So, 700 or 800 is the yield they're getting pounds per acre, and the norm is 5,000. So they're running. Okay, that's quick math for me. They're running about 15 or 16% off. I mean, they're 85% down from normal.
Correct. No, it's bad.
Wow.
And then on top of that, I think we've talked about it before on the show. You know, just the yield is not all of it. You have grades that are thrown into it. So every load of peanuts or cotton or corn, anything we talk about is graded. And the grades have been very bad.
So the volume is down, you know, the weight is down, the quality is down. Do you mind me asking? You said some people are as bad as that. What are you running at?
I'm just in the bad situation. I'm not in the real bad situation.
Okay.
We're doing definitely way below average, but way better than some of my neighbors.
I mean, like 2,000, 2,500 pounds? And I'm trying to be optimistic. I don't know what bad is.
I think we're going to be in the 4,000 pound range.
Okay, so
probably.
still 20% down. That's still bad. Okay.
Right. Right, so it's still bad, and then but here we go with our grades. Our yields have been like that, but our grades have been terrible.
Okay,
a normal grade, a normal numerical grade, is around, you know, in the low to mid 70s, and I've been in the mid 60s with all of mine, and that determines how you get paid. And then on top of that, there are other critical factors that go in there. Where typically our price that we're getting paid per ton of peanuts this year is, let's say, $550 a ton. If certain things trigger these bad grades, then you get $150 a ton.
Ooh.
So we've had some of those issues.
So 20% down for you on yield, some people down 85% on yield, and if you qualify for the lower grade, you lose, what, 70% of your pay?
And nowadays, you know, we use tractor trailers to haul our stuff, whereas used to we used one that would only hold just a very few tons. Now they hold 25 tons. So if you get, you know, if you qualify for it, then that's about 25 tons at a time that you get a bad grade on, versus before it was on little trailers, little wagons. And, you know, you may get a bad grade on this one and a good one on the next one. Now if that happens, you know, it's a significant amount of tonnage.
So it's graded on the whole batch, whereas before at least some of them would come out at the higher level. Wow. Okay. All right.
Correct. Yeah. So, it's not a good situation. But, you know, I know a lot of people, anytime anything bad happens with harvest, you know, when you're talking to Joe Blow on the street, his first words are, "Well, you got insurance for that, right?" You know, a hurricane kind of, well, that's okay because you got insurance.
The assumption by most people is, well, if you have a bad year crops-wise, surely you have crop insurance, right?
Right, and we do, because we borrow so much money to grow the crop. We have operating loans, very, very expensive operating loans every year. And so they require us, just like you go buy a new car and borrow a bunch of money to buy it, they're going to require you to have insurance.
Right.
The same way with this. They require us to have crop insurance. Well, you've asked me before about farm subsidies from the government, and the crop insurance is an extremely, extremely expensive deal, and it is one of the few things that we are subsidized on. So the crop insurance, the government pays, just for rough figures, about 60% of the premium, and the farmer pays about 40%. But you have to understand, just to put it out there, on a farm our size, even with the government paying their part of it, you know, our insurance bill is probably still around $80,000 a year.
And even when they pay, they don't cover it all, right? There's some weird formula, like they only cover half the loss or something like that, or there's a trigger, like a volume deductible on the amount of crops or something like that, right?
Exactly. So they have your 10-year yield history. That's what they go back and look at. And they say, all right, Mr. Jenkins, your peanuts usually average 5,000 pounds to the acre over these last 10 years. Then the farmer buys a percentage of coverage. We usually buy about 70% coverage. That's about all we can afford. So then you're only covered up to 70% of 5,000 pounds. So it's a little bit better than nothing. It would be the same way that car that you just bought, that brand new car. You leave the lot and you go out and total it. There's not a straight piece of metal on it. There's no tires. There's no blah, blah, blah. It's ruined. And the insurance company says, oh, thank God you had insurance. So they put you 4 new tires on there and get you back going, but it still doesn't have a windshield. None of the fenders are straight. Nothing's right on it, except it's got 4 tires and it can still just barely move down the road.
So it's enough to prevent total devastation, but it's not make you whole insurance.
Correct. Mm. Because we've got, the input prices that they are now, we have to have a bumper crop every year, basically to break even. So any little hiccup and you're falling behind.
Man,
that's kind of where we are.
I tell you, the thing that I always take away from our conversations is I'm grateful and amazed that farmers do this because, you're not making the PR case for going to farming, kids. it's hard to see why people do it, and I love that you do it. I totally appreciate. I'm really, really grateful that you do it. Follow up just a real quick thing. So is this a nationwide effect this year, like when it comes to peanuts? Is this going to be, there's going to be peanut shortage and that kind of thing to that degree? Is this all peanut farmers are affected this way, or is this more regional or what?
No, I'm pretty active in the industry and have contacts all around, and I've spoken with several, kind of across the peanut belt, and it's about like it is here. It's spotty is the best way to describe it.
Okay.
Your neighbor got rain that he needed, but the other one didn't. But as a whole, I've talked to a lot of buddies, and I've only had one that said his crop looks really good.
Wow.
Everybody else is in the same, would have the same story I have. You might have a field here that does average or better, but you're going to have 3 over here that are real bad. So,
wow. Well,
it all depends on who. If you talk to the right person, you might get a real good story.
An outlier in the good way. Wow. Well, that's. Well, man, Ryan, it is always good to hear from you. We always like to end with a quick farm fact. Do you have one for us this week?
I do. It's my favorite time of the year. It's harvest season. It's also college football season, and we all like to wear our favorite team T-shirt, representing our team.
I think you and I wear the same shirts, I think. I mean, not same size, but we do wear the same team.
Well, if we do, good. War Eagle.
War Eagle. almost beat Georgia. Yeah. Almost.
Yeah, almost. Almost. But one 480-pound bale of gin cotton can make over 1,200 T-shirts.
Wow. All right. So one bale of cotton makes 400 T-shirts. Very good. Ryan Jenkins, we will continue to pray for you and pray for the whole farming community, given the pain that y'all are enduring this year. But, man, I always say it, and I mean it every time. I'm glad that you feed and clothe my kids and me too, and keep up the good work. And, the Lord comes through. I mean, that's all we can really say at this point. But Ryan Jenkins, our owner at Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you. Y'all have a great week.
Absolutely. Man, just a sobering report this year for the farmers in Northwest Florida. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a import, you might have a Porsche, a Mercedes, a Genesis, Jaguar, Audi, BMW, Lexus, good cars, great cars. You pay extra to get them. you do not the pasture to service them. In fact, if you bought it at a dealership that's a ways away, you know, like maybe in Destin or maybe in Fort Walton, for goodness sakes, I don't know, maybe in Mobile, you might think, well, I got to go service it at the dealership. No, you don't. You don't. You can take those cars to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on them all the time. No problem. Saves you the time, the inconvenience, the money, you know, because it can be a little extra to go to the dealership, but they work on those all the time. Same thing for your diesel engines, your trucks. You think that's kind of something special to add and got to go to the dealership? Nope. Nope. Bobby Likas works on those all too. Same thing for your domestic, you know, ordinary cars, right? Gasoline engines, domestics, they work on those no problem. The idea at Bobby Likas is to treat your little things, you know, like the preventative maintenance, the routine checkup, that kind of stuff, and then you avert the big problems. You know, that's kind of the goal, is to take them, your car, like you take your body into the doctor to inspect it every once in a while. Same thing. So carclinicservice.com is the website, or just stop in at Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Rumors of Fleetwood Mac, the world's finest tribute to Fleetwood Mac, returns to the stage in 2023. A brand new show celebrating the very best of Fleetwood Mac. A unique opportunity for fans both old and new to rediscover the songs and performances that have ensured Fleetwood Mac's place as one of the most loved groups of all time. Personally endorsed by Fleetwood Mac founding member Mick Fleetwood. Live at Pensacola Sanger Theater on November 22nd. The ultimate tribute to Fleetwood Mac. Tickets are on sale now from Ticketmaster.com.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. We are gearing up for an exciting homecoming weekend, and we invite all community members, alumni, and fans to join us for the game on October 7th at Penn Air Field. Learn more about our homecoming events and football team by joining us on October 5th on the Pensacola Expert Panel. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Windows products and installation.
Deep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Got it.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Oh, it's touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola, right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's been going on so long, I just don't know if I'll be back.
You'll be back.
You always say that.
You always will be back.
But when?
Now. Your show starts.
Oh.
Get to the chopper!
There's a chopper?
There always is a chopper.
So the shows are back, and some of them were funny. I don't know. I thought, like, yeah. See, here's the thing: when you're off for 5 months, and then, you know, the expectation is, well, look, we'll bring all the pent up humor. Yeah, it doesn't really work that way. Plus, you're out of practice. I mean, let's be honest; they're not as good. That was Jimmy Kimmel opening with Arnold Schwarzenegger last night after the writer's strike ended, and you know, a big introduction for all three of the big hosts.
Well, hi, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Audience is very glad they're back.
I don't know if I can still do this. In case you've forgotten, my name is Jimmy. I've been off the air for 5 months. We've been gone so long. We've been gone so long, The Bachelor is now a grandfather.
That's all right. That's all right.
We missed so much good stuff. Well, Donald Trump got arrested 4 times while we were on strike. Once for the classified documents, once for interfering with the election, once for January 6th, and once for shooting Tupac, allegedly.
See, that's kind of a funny joke because, like, they'll arrest him for anything these days.
You know the weirdest thing about being off the air is when I walk into a room, nobody claps. It's I walk into Costco, I get nothing. So it's really great to be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger is here. You know,
I feel like that one might be a little bit too honest. That's a little bit too close to home. Meanwhile, Colbert, you know, Colbert opens with this long, boring dolphin interaction with him out on sea.
As the son of a sailor, I went out on the sea for adventure. Expanding. Oh, hello, sea chum. What's the latest news? Really? She's dating Travis Kelce.
And then he rides the dolphin back, you know, because the writer's strike is over. And it was weird, but it's a nice tribute to Jimmy Buffett, so that's good. His first joke, okay?
It feels good to be with all of you again here in the Ed Sullivan Theater, because after the first few months of the strike, Evie refused to keep chanting my name.
Weird sort of similarity there with Kimmel. Like, Kimmel doesn't get the applause. Stephen Colbert doesn't get the applause.
But now the writer strike is over with a new contract that includes protections against AI, cost of living increases, better pay for streaming. Plus, thanks to the picket lines, my writers got fresh air and sunshine, and they do not care for that. Now they're back safely in their joke holes. Doing what they do best, making my prompter word screen full of good and haha.
That's pretty good. But I gotta say, kind of like you would not be surprised to discover, Jimmy Fallon had basically the best of the writers.
I love you. I miss you. Oh my gosh. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Tonight Show. I'm more excited than a Jets fan during the first three.
Oh, wait. This is not the one I wanted to start with because that wasn't the first one. Where is the. Oh, here we go. This is the first one.
5 months off, and we are back. Yeah. I am so excited to be here. I am so excited. Seriously, I'm more excited than a guy seeing Beetlejuice with Lauren Boebert.
See, that's a great joke. That's best first joke award goes to Jimmy Fallon, for sure.
I'm more excited than a Jets fan during the first three plays of the season. You gotta be kidding me.
It's an Aaron Rodgers crack.
Yeah, everyone is excited. Today, my dad called me up and said, finally, I can watch Kimmel again. I go, come on, give me one.
So when we left our intrepid late night host, Jimmy Fallon was funny, and Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert were also on TV. Now that we are back after 150 days, Jimmy Fallon is funny, and Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert are on TV. 4-3-7-16-20. Not much has changed. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The fraud trial of former President Trump is set to resume in New York's Supreme Court today. A Kansas City police chief who ordered the raid of a local newspaper office several months ago has now resigned. Marion, Kansas Police Chief Gideon Cody announced his resignation yesterday. His departure comes 2 months after police raided the Marion County Record to investigate an identity theft claim. And it's now official, Andrew. Congressman Matt Gaetz followed through and officially filed a motion to force a vote to overthrow House Speaker Kevin McCarthy yesterday afternoon. And that vote expected to come sometime this week.
Yeah, it's, you know, he gets up there and does the thing.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Florida now seek recognition?
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Clause 2A1 of Rule 9, I rise to give notice of my intent to raise a question of the privileges of the House.
The gentleman will state the form of his resolution.
Declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant, resolved that the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
And in case you didn't see, it's kind of funny because the acting speaker was in like, you have 2 days, and we'll let you know what we think. So we won't know anything until tomorrow, at which point they might take up the question. And, you know, probably Kevin McCarthy doesn't get removed on the first vote, but he probably doesn't get reinstated on the first vote either.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.